Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Ephesians chapter number 5, I'm going to pick back up. We started last Wednesday night on understanding the will of God, And I want to continue looking at this, which we're going to deal with three different parts. We've started with understanding the will of God. Then next, after I finish this, we're going to deal with undertaking the will of God, and then underestimating the will of God. And if we're not careful, we will underestimate the will of God. You know, God can do anything that He wants to. I stand amazed at what the Lord can do if He decides to do it. Amen? And if we're not careful, we'll underestimate what God can do with our life and through our life. Amen? Look with me in Ephesians chapter number 5. The Bible said this in verse number 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Now, we looked at that word circumspectly last week, and it means accurately. And what the writer of Ephesians is telling to us, he's saying this to us tonight. He's saying that we need to walk accurately those things that are pleasing to the will of God, those things that please God. And of course, if we go back to the beginning of chapter number 5, like I did last Wednesday, I'm not going to tonight, but we can see what he's talking about. He talks about this in verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becoming saints. He's saying, don't do these things. He's saying, walk circumspectly, walk accurately, walk so others will see Christ in you. Probably out of every 100 people you meet, maybe one or two of them will read a Bible, but all of them will read you. Can I say that again? All of them would judge our life. And I was talking to a gentleman the other day that's a good Christian man, and he's a businessman. He got invited to play in a golf tournament, and it was a company that gives him a lot of business. And he told me, he said, you know, Jonathan, he said, I hated to not go play in it. He said, but I went and played in it, and he said, I thought we was going to be able to play with who we went with, but I got divided up and had to go on somebody else's team. And he said, whenever I got on that other team, there was three others on it. He said, they was drinking and they was cussing. And he said, and then some people that I had invited to church, he said, we was the last team to tee off. And some people that I had invited to church teed off right behind us. And he said, you know what? All day I was thinking, man, you know what? I guarantee you they're looking at me going, well, he's just like every other person. He wants you to come to church, but he don't live a life that's pleasing to God. He said, you know, man, I can promise you I'll never be stuck in that situation again. What he was saying is this: I want to walk accurately. I want others to see Christ in my life. Man, we ought to be that way. One thing that I've already had to remind myself of dealing with this building project on a couple different things is, first and foremost, I'm the pastor of a church, and I have to remember that, because I'm going to tell you something, I get in the flesh every once in a while, just like you do. So he's saying this: see then that you walk circumspectly, that you walk accurately, that we don't give the world a reason to point a finger at us and say, no, they're not what they say they are. They say they're faithful to church, but where was they at Sunday? They was out doing the things of the world. And you know what? If it's not in the house of God, then it's the things of the world if we're out on Sunday. They was not faithful to the house of God. So we walk circumspectly. And then he says, here's the reason why. Look in verse number 16. He says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. He says, we better redeem this time. We better walk circumspectly. We better walk accurately, because the days are evil. The days are evil. Boy, is that not the truth? The days are evil. It's an evil day in which we live in. If there's ever been a time that the world needs to see Christ in the church and in the Christian, it's in these evil days. Then he says this, verse number 17, "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." He said we need to understand what the will of the Lord is. And I began last week preaching on understanding the will of God. Understanding the will of God. I thought about this, and I said this last week, and I'm going to say it again tonight, and I'll say it over and over as I go through this series. The will of God, the will of God will never lead you contrary to the Word of God. The will, if you don't learn nothing through the next 3 or 4 weeks of me preaching on this, I hope that you'll get that statement. The will of God will never lead you contrary to the Word of God. I was talking to another pastor today that I asked him if he was interested in another church. There was a church that was needing a pastor a couple counties over that I was talking to the chairman of their pulpit committee, and I talked to this other gentleman, and I said, "Hey, look," I said, "would you be interested in another church? Matter of fact, it'd be a full-time position. It's a church that can support you full-time." And he said, "Yeah, preacher," he said. If that's what God wants, and if that's the will of God, then I would be interested in that. But I want you to understand something. The will of God will never take you contrary to the Word of God. And we talked about how if it was God's will, then God would give a verse of Scripture to confirm that in his heart. The will of God tonight. Number one, we looked at this. We must understand that there is a printed or a public will of God. There is a printed or a public will of God. That is that every sinner be saved, that every saved person be separated, that every saved separated person be spirit-filled, and that every saved separated spirit-filled person be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I preached last week. And I want to say this to you tonight and echo this thought again. If we're saved by the grace of God, it should be our desire to be a servant of the Lord, to do what God would have us to do, to live our life pleasing to the Lord. So number two tonight, here's what I want to look at. Number one, we must understand there's the printed will of God or the public will of God. Those things that I dealt with last week is for every man. It's for every boy, for every girl, for every woman, for every man. That is the public will of God. It's God's will that everybody get saved. Can I get an amen right there? It's God's will that everybody lives a separated life. It's God's will that everybody is full of the Holy Spirit. That don't mean, Brother Bright, that we're going to fall out and speak in tongues. And I don't know if Tina showed you that video that she sent me today, but this guy, he got slain in the Spirit, Brother Royal, and he fell out, but he didn't fall out so bad that he didn't drop his microphone. He held hold of his microphone the whole time and held it up as he hit the ground. And I thought, well, somebody's fussed at him for busting a $600 microphone every once in a while. But anyway, what I'm saying is this. It's all of that is God's will for everybody. Not to fall out and not bust the microphone, but you understand what I'm saying. But God has a will for you specifically also. God has a will. God's personal will for my life right now is to pastor Amazing Grace Baptist Church. That's not nobody else's will of God for nobody else's life right now. You say, well, how do you know that? Because God's got me here. God has placed me here. It's God's will for me to do that. God has a specific plan for your life. Now that you're saved, now that you're separated, now that you're spirit-filled, now that you're a servant, God has something for you. And I say this to you tonight, that should excite you. That should excite you tonight to think that the God of all glory wants to use you. that God has something for you to do that not everybody else can do. You say, preacher, do you really think he's got that for me? If you're saved, let me back up and rephrase that. If you're saved or not saved, if you're alive tonight, God's got a plan for your life. The first plan is that you get saved. The second plan, we could walk down through that public wheel. Then it comes to this, God has something for you. God has something for you. Let me show you three things right here. There is a personal will of God for you concerning your church. There is a personal will of God for you concerning your church. You say, well, what is that? Number one, it's this, that you be fruitful in the church. That you be fruitful in the church. Don't get upset with me, but you shouldn't just be a bench warmer at the church. Are you with me? God didn't save us just to be a bench warmer. God saved us to go to church, and I'll deal with that in just a minute. But you should be fruitful at your church. You know, I'm reminded of what the Bible said in Galatians chapter number 6. He said, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. He goes on to say, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And let us do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. What he is saying this is that if we put the right seeds in the ground, then you know what? The right fruit will come up. If you're a Sunday school teacher tonight and you're not seeing what you want to see in your class, maybe you're not sowing the right things. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again. I'll say this to you. You say, I want my Sunday school class to be fruitful, preacher. How much time are you spending preparing for that? You're not going to get out of it more than you put into it. Are you with me right there? I got tickled. Me and Brother Granville, on Monday, we was walking around the edge of that retention pond, and we was looking for the grass coming up. And he said, preacher, he said, is there any grass at all? And finally, we moved the matting back a little bit, Brother Aaron, and we seen some grass that was starting to come up. And here's what he said. He said, Brother Heath was out here sowing that the other day, and I'd have to say, wait a minute, Brother Heath, come back over here and go down through here. He said he'd go over there and go down and go around, and then you had a big spot where there wasn't nothing. And he said I'd have to turn him and say, come back this way or go over this way. You know what happens a lot? I'm talking about being fruitful at the church. You know what happens a lot of times? We just go over here and we throw a little seed, or we go over here and we throw a little seed, and we think God's going to give us 7,000 in our Sunday school class on Sunday morning. It's God's will that we be fruitful, but we've got a plan to be fruitful. I thought about this. It's God's will. It's a personal will concerning your church that you're fruitful at your church. But can I say this? It's the will of God, a personal will of God for you at the church, for you to be fervent in prayer for your church. It is the will of God that you pray for your church. It is the will of God. What did he say in 2 Thessalonians 5:17? Pray without ceasing. What did he say in verse 18? Rejoice evermore. If you have the right prayer life, you will rejoice, amen? But it's the will of God for you personally at your church to pray for God to help the church. You say, preacher, I don't know how to pray for my church. Go home and write everybody's name down that you can think about at the church and start praying for them. Put your pastor and his family's name at the top and put it at the bottom. Pray for them twice. You say, well, why should I pray for them twice? Because I promise you they're praying for you. Amen. Pray for them. It is the will of God for you personally to be fruitful at the church. It's the will of God for you personally to be fervent in prayer for the church. But watch this. It's the will of God for you personally to be faithful to the church. To be faithful to, hey, you're to holler, amen. It's Wednesday night. You're sitting on the church pew. Ain't no need to get tight right here. You're here. But it's the will of God for us to be faithful to the house of God. Hebrews 10:25, I even need to read it. We know what it says. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. And he goes on to say, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So many churches today are having less church than they ever had. when they ought to be having more church than they've ever had, because the day is approaching. So there's a personal will of God for your life concerning the church. But number two, watch this. There is a personal will of God for your life concerning your church. But number two, concerning your companion. Now, I know for the majority, all of our single people is out of here tonight, but there's a few in here. There is a personal will of God concerning your companion. What did the Bible say in 2 Corinthians 6:14? Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That's still in the Bible tonight. That's still in the Bible. You know what that means? That means this. If they're not saved, you don't have no business dating them. It goes further than that. Unequally yoked together. If they don't believe the same way we do, then we are unequally yoked together. And you know what? We can make all kinds of excuses, but the Bible's the Bible tonight. It means what it says, and it says what it means. I thought about this and that companion. We could talk a lot about those that's single, but let's talk about friendships in that just a minute. Let's talk about, you know what? I have no business having fellowship with unrighteousness. We go back and we can read back through the beginning of chapter number 5. If they're not of God, this is one thing that I ask Madeline a lot. And with her being in nursing school, she's around a lot of different people and has made a lot of new acquaintances. But here's what I ask her a lot. Are they drawing you closer to God or pulling you further away from God? They're doing one of the two. And I want to say something to you tonight, church. For every one of us here tonight, there is a will of God personally concerning our friendship or our companions. And I want to tell you tonight, I have no business being with that crowd that's not what I am. I just don't have no business being with them. Watch this. There's a personal will of God concerning your church, concerning your companion. But there is a personal will of God concerning your career. And again, I know a lot of our young people's out right now, but I want you to hear me tonight. Concerning our career. I thought about this. Besides getting saved, especially if you're a young person, besides getting saved, it's one of the most important decisions that you'll ever make. What your career is going to be. And you say, well, preacher, why do you say that to young people? Because a lot of times they're choosing that before they choose their spouse. A lot of times, Brother Aaron, young people, we try to get them turned in a career path by 11th and no later than the 12th grade of what they're going to do with their life. You need to be careful and find the will of God for your career. Don't just go anywhere and do any old thing. Let me tell you what happens a lot of times when you go anywhere and do any old thing. People never settle down at a job. They just bounce here and there and everywhere. Man, find the will of God for it. Here's some things to take in consideration. Can I be faithful to my church and my career? Well, it got real quiet right there. Can I be faithful to my church and my career? I understand that there's some careers that has people. Brother Aaron works every third Sunday and every third Wednesday. And I'm glad that he does. I get tired of seeing him. No, I'm just speaking. I'm glad that he does. Because if we was to fall out, we want a paramedic to come help us. I completely understand that. There's time, Brother Brent is the assistant director of our 911 center. There's times he has no choice. He has to go to work during church time. And you know what? I'm glad, because if we call 911 to get Aaron, we need him to answer over yonder in Dobson. Are you with me? Brother Remington has chosen a career as a firefighter. And there'll be times that he has to work. I understand that. But sometimes we choose a career path because it's a whole lot more financially. And we don't take time to think about the house of God. We don't take time to think about what it's going to do to our spouse when we do get married, because we're never home. There's a will of God. I believe God has a will for where you work at. People can say what they want to. I'm not all for young men always going to college and learning how to work on a computer. Let me tell you the reason why. Because that's about all of them, any of them knows how to do anymore. I'm for young men finding a trade. You're always going to need a mechanic. You always going to need a plumber. You always going to need somebody to build something. You know what? You can say, well, I'm not going to pay it. You let something break and see what you do. And I'm going to tell you the day's coming where they can charge what they want to charge and you're going to pay it. I try to encourage our young men, hey, go work for an electrician or shadow an electrician or shadow a plumber or shadow a general contractor. I'm telling you, man, you need to find the will of God concerning your career. It's the will of God. What is the will of God for it? What, you know what? Here's another thing. I thought about this today. Here's another thing you ought to take into consideration when you're looking at a career path. What is the divorce rate in that career path? If it's a high divorce rate, you might want to pray and see if that's really where God wants you at. Especially if you're a young Christian and you're just getting married. Amen, Brother Jonathan. You're running well tonight. That's the truth. That's the truth. So there is a will of God for your career. There's a will of God for your companion. There's a will of God concerning the church. There's a will of God concerning your calling. You said, preacher, what do you mean by that? I mean this right here. God has something for every person in here to do. I can't tell you God's will for your life. I can't tell you that. I will say this, and our young men and men, as they've surrendered to preach, and they began to talk to me about whether God was really dealing with them to preach or not, I believe that there's a time when God will give the pastor some settlement on that, as well as that young man that is dealing with the call of God in his life. You can believe what you want to about this. I believe if it's a will of God for you to marry somebody, if your mom and daddy loves God and is in tune with God, God will give them peace about that also. I really do. We've had some, and I would never call names, but we've had some leave the church and then talk to me and go, man, preacher, you sat down and talked to me and said you didn't know if that was the will of God, that you didn't have no peace about it, but I went on my own will and I've made a huge mistake. You better make sure it's the will of God concerning your calling. Let me show you one more thing tonight. We must understand that there is a public will of God. We must understand that there is a personal will of God. But number three, in closing tonight, we must understand there is a progressive will of God. Understanding the will of God. A progressive will of God. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? I'm not talking about insurance. I'm talking about there's progress being made on the building. I know the look out there looks the same as it did Sunday. But Brother Matthew Wall back there will testify to what I'm fixing to say. The past 2 days, there's been a lot. Brother Aaron was here yesterday too. There's been a lot of progress that took place. If we could roll back the dirt back there and you could see all that storm drain system and all the pipe that's been laid and those big cement boxes if you could feel my back from slinging 8-pound sledgehammer busting holes in them the past 2 days, you would understand there's been progress made on it. If we went back to the day, matter of fact, one preacher said from the day that we vote to build a building, it'll take at least a year before we can break ground on it. And I told him, I said, good Lord's willing, within a year we'll be in the build, not breaking ground on it. He said, I just don't think it'll ever happen. I sent him the picture of the day and said, well, we're 4 months in. Are you with me? There, progress is being made. In your life, there is a progressive will of God. What I mean by that is simply this tonight, church. You should be closer to God today than you was yesterday. You should be doing more for God today than you was yesterday. A lot of people says this. Madeline, come start playing softly. Not a lot of people says that, but a lot of people says this. Is there a progressive backsliding? No. You're either serving God or you're not. You can be sitting on church bench and be backslid as a man that hadn't been in church in 6 years. If there was a time that you was closer to God than you are right now, then we're backslid. It's a progressive will of God. Every day of our life, Brother Gray, we should be getting closer to God. We should have a more intimate relationship with God today than we did yesterday. We should know more about Him today, Brother Aaron, than we did yesterday. A progressive will of God in our life. Where are we at spiritually today? Where are we at in the knowledge of God's Word today? So, preacher, I just can't understand it. Well, you need to read that verse in James. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who give it to all men freely. God will give you understanding of His Word. Here's the problem. Here's the reason we don't understand the Word of God a lot of times, because we pick up the Bible. Is this King James? Okay, I just want to make sure before I read out of it. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, for His glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standing against him. Boy, I wish I knew what that meant. And that's as far as we ever go with it. We don't ever take time to study God's Word. To study God's Word. A progressive will of God. When you're studying the Word of God, you're progressing in the will of God. Because God will confirm His will through His Word. And His will never be contrary to His Word. His will never be contrary to His Word. So, preacher, I want to do something great for God. Get in His Word. He will reveal His will through His Word. I believe that with all my heart. I had a preacher argue that with me. Said, you don't need the Bible to back you up on major decisions in your life. You don't need the Bible to back you up on if God's called you to preach. You don't need the Bible to back you up on if God sent you to a church. You said, what did you say to him? I just turned around and walked off. I mean, he had the right to be wrong if he wanted to. The will of God will be revealed to you out of the Word of God. I'm going to say something. I hope I won't make nobody mad, but if I do, I do. I'm going to say something tonight. When I'm really seeking the will of God, I don't pray, now God, if it's your will, let 3 stoplights be red, 2 be yellow, and 1 be green today, and I'll know it's your will. God, if it's really your will for me to do this, let me kill a monstrous 10-pointer this year. Are you with? You can't find that in the Word of God. You can't find that. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. That's what we're seeking when we're seeking the will of God. We're seeking the wisdom of God. God, I need understanding to this. If we spend as much time praying, oh God, if it's your will, give me a verse on it. And then we go to His book and begin reading. Let me tell you what God will do every time. He'll give you scripture to confirm that in your heart. Man, I'm telling you. You should preach out and you know that. I've seen Him do it over and over and over and over again. You don't have to find a scripture to make it work either. God will reveal it to you. So, preacher, I'm going to pray if God really wants me to do something that we've got 200 Sunday. Well, I'll go ahead and pray for 1,000. I mean, if we're going to go that, let's just get 1,000 here. That's not the way God works, church. God works through His Word. His Word reveals His will, and His will is never contrary to His Word. Amen. Understanding the will of God for our lives.